Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord build the house, say, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. So you can labor and you can build, but if the Lord isn't involved in it, the Lord isn't leading you to do it, then your labor is what? In vain. In vain means what? It's kind of worthless. It was kind of a waste of time, wasn't it? Because you didn't do it the way God wanted it to be done. Right? Have you ever felt like you did that in life sometimes? You know, you're like, oh, I thought God was doing this, and you worked and you work and you work and you work, and you get to the end of it and he's like, no, I wasn't in that at all. Well, that stinks. Then all that labor, say labor, that was in vain. So really what we want to do is get the Lord's direction, right? And labor, does this mean you're not going to labor? No, this means you should be laboring in the right thing instead of the wrong thing. Now, you know this, I know this, a lot of people don't know this yet, but who's the Lord in our day and age? The Holy Ghost. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Well, if we're in the Holy Ghost dispensation, he's the only part of the Godhead in the earth today, right? So except the Lord in our dispensation build the house, then everything beyond that or before that or around that is a labor of vain or labor of vanity. It's in vain. Is that a problem? Yeah, because there's a lot of people building on something that the Lord didn't build, right? They're building on something else, which means at the end it's all going to be in vain. Okay, well, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we walk with him how? By speaking words, predominantly his words, either in other tongues or promises from the Bible. That's how we do it. Now, you know, the truth is, those are very deep concepts. They're very simple concepts, but they're very deep. You can go as deep into that as you want, right? That the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by speaking his words. Well, some of the words that you should be speaking are, I worship you, Holy Ghost. What happens to you when you begin to speak those words? A whole new thing opens up. Why? Because you have to know he's God. And then you answer this question, should you worship God? Okay. Yeah, you should worship God. So therefore, when you say, I worship you, Holy Ghost, it begins to open up a whole new part of this dispensation that we're in that a lot of people have not even gone there. In fact, they would try to talk you out of going there. And one of the reasons I want to talk you out of it is because it's literally going to change everything. It's going to rewire you. You get a new Bible, remember? This is what I've been preaching about, the room of Holy Ghost worship. What happens, right? Those of you who use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, you understand what I'm saying? How would I use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost? You use it like a tool, meaning I say them. I'm walking with God in the earth today, and I'm going to use these words. I worship you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, God in the earth today, you walk with him by saying words. I'm going to use these words. You think God enjoys worship? Does God require worship? Yes. Well, he is God, right? He's the Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. He requires worship. So when you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, a whole new world awaits for you. For those who use those words, you are doing something that no one else does. And will and can see results that no one else can. Why? Because you're walking with him by using words that nobody else is using. So if you use those words, the results of those words, the trajectory of the words, the end result of those, the destination that those words take you to, if we walk with God by saying words, is completely different than people who don't use those words. All right. Now, this also helps to build a house that other people, and this is kind of what I'm going to be talking about today. You're building a house that other people don't know anything about. Where'd you get that house from? These words, right? Remember our scripture, except the Lord, Lord who? Lord, Holy Ghost builds the house, the people are laboring. Okay, are you here? And I put the words inducted here. You're inducted into the Holy Ghost society, the society of people who worship the Holy Ghost by saying those words. How do you get into the society? It's pretty easy. You begin saying the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And you continue to say the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Warning, if you do that, it's going to change everything. Because just what I've talked about this before, it's like rebooting and getting a new program on your computer, a new OS, a new operating system, that a lot of the old stuff isn't going to work on anymore. And it's uncomfortable. You don't know where things are like you used to, right? Yeah. That's a whole different message. I spent a whole message on that, right? It literally will rewire everything on the inside of you. Why is that? I'm going to talk about why it is today. Just like Abraham didn't wait for the promise, the church didn't wait for the promise, and they got everything messed up. I know I've said this before, but I'd like to delve into it a little bit deeper so we can see it. We know it's scriptural. We can see what happened here. All right? You all right with that? Because if the Lord isn't building the house, they're building something that is going to be in vain in the long run. Right? So let's look at Abraham. Are you here? You got a Bible? Genesis chapter 15. Glory be to God forever. Genesis chapter, and basically what it means is if the Lord, lots of times what happens is the Lord will tell you something and then you'll go off on your own to try to make it happen. Right? That's just human nature. Abraham did it. The church did it. I'll show you when we get into that portion of this. What happens? You end up building something that's in vain because you mess it up. That wasn't God's plan. All right. Did you find it? Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord, verse 1. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. See? You see what he's saying? Yeah. He's saying, oh, okay, you're going to give me all this wealth. I get that. You're my exceeding great reward, but when I die, I've got nobody to give it to except my servant in my house. Right. You know, and I like him a lot, but come on. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now towards the heavens, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. And this is where we get our faith from. Abraham is the father of our faith. It is believing God that counts for righteousness, right? Well, the word of the Lord came to him saying, It's not going to be your servant in your house that's going to get all your stuff. It's going to be your own son, right? So Abraham, from that point on, is thinking, oh, this is great. He believed God. He believed that he was going to have a son, but it wasn't happening. Say, it wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening.
Well, if God tells you something and something's not happening, then obviously you're doing something wrong and you need to go and do something about it, right? Not necessarily. You might need more information. Right?
Right.
So what would the command be if you don't have the information you need? What would the command from God be? Wait! Right? And that's not easy to do, is it? Especially when you're believing God. God told you a promise. I don't want to wait anymore. All right, let's look at chapter 16. Yeah. Woo! You were in 15. We're going to go right to the next chapter. Skip ahead a little bit. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Must be her fault then. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Think about that. God is telling them that she's supposed to have a baby, and there's, what are they saying? The Lord's restraining me from bearing. Does that make any sense at all? God's keeping it from me. See, they needed more information. They didn't have the right information. They should have just waited and believed God. See, he believed God, but he needed to continue to believe God and do what he was supposed to be doing, which was waiting and believing God instead of trying to work something out here. Let's see, verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, and I pray thee, go into my maid, that it may be obtained children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon me, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord's judge between me and thee. Verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thine hand, do unto her as it pleases thee. And then Sarai dealt hardly with her, and she fled from her face. You see what's going on here? Well, obviously God's keeping Sarah from having children, so I have this maid in my house, just have another wife, maybe you'll have children from her. She became pregnant. Well, see, we figured it out. We figured out how God was going to do this. We helped God bring to pass his promise when they should have been waiting. Verse 7, and the Lord, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from before the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall be not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction. Verse 12, and he will be a wild man. A wild man, almost crazy. His hand will be against every man. Are you here? Mm-hmm. And every man's hand against him. Is this good? And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So anyway, are you seeing what's happening here? So now there's this multitude of people in the earth, even so as it is now, a multitude of people in the earth that are wild and against everybody else, and everybody's hand is against them. Why? Because God promised it. No, because Abraham didn't wait. We ended up with a ginormous, gigantic problem in the earth because Abraham didn't wait for the promise. All right, go with me quickly over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Are you getting this? Unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Well, eventually they got it the right way, and Sarah, right, gave birth to Isaac, and he's called the promise. They should have waited for the fulfillment of the promise. They didn't wait for the promise. They tried to do it their own way and went out about doing their own thing and ended up messing up everything, right? Causing problems. What did I say? Galatians 4:22. Whereas it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by the free woman. Who was the bondmaid?
Hagar,
who was the free woman? Sarah. But he was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. What does that mean? He was born by trying to fulfill the promise by means of the flesh, right? But of he of the free woman was by promise. A promise believed on by faith causes a supernatural result. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these things are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar. And for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is. Now this is the whole bunch of stuff going on here. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth thy cry, thou that travails not, and for the desolation of many more children than she which has an husband. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born of the Spirit, even so it is now. Here we do. We got our persecution. The majority of the persecution that comes from Hagar and Ishmael was started back when Abraham did not wait for the promise. Are you here? Did it cause a problem?
Yeah.
Is it still causing problems?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're wild people. Right? That's what the Bible says. Are you getting this? So if Abraham would have known that verse of scripture, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, he would have gone, well, no, all this labor will be in vain, and not only vanity, it's going to be bad. It's going to cause a lot of problems. Are you here? Well, just as Abraham didn't wait for the promise, did you see how Isaac was the promise?
Yeah.
And how we came out of the promise? Who's also called the promise in the New Testament? The Holy Ghost is the promise. Let's look at that real quick. Acts. Chapter 2. Verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now Peter said to them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you. Who's the promise? The Holy Ghost. The end result of receiving Jesus was to receive the promise. Are you here? Right, go back to Acts chapter 1. Let's just see what Jesus says about it. Let's read verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them. Jesus commanded them. Jesus in the flesh, raised from the dead, stood in front of his disciples and commanded them to do something. That they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Jesus rose from the dead, appeared to above 500. I'm going to take you to that scripture so you can see it. It wasn't just 120 that waited. It was above 500 people when he was raised from the dead, right? And commanded them not to do anything but wait. Are you here?
Yeah.
Wait for the promise. Did they? I'm going to prove it to you that they didn't. What's going to happen if they don't wait? First of all, their labor is going to be in vain, and they're going to end up messing things up, which will last thousands of years, and we're dealing with it to this very day. They are building on the wrong thing. They're trying to build on Hagar and Ishmael. They're not building on the promise. That's why I say, when you begin to receive the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today, and you start to worship Him, He is the promise. He's the beginning of all that you should be believing, right? That's why it seems so different. When you start that, He starts to rewire all those things, because all of those things you were built on before. Are you here?
Yep.
So, well, let's see. Let's go to Acts. Well, go to Acts chapter 2. We'll see here. Remember in Acts chapter 1, He said, wait for the promise. Let's see if they did. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, how many people were here? 120. Yes, amen. Look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 1. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Right? Say 120. All right, so he had 120 disciples. They all committed to do what Jesus told them to do, which was wait. Right? He commanded them via the Holy Ghost to wait for the promise. Right? Yep. And they didn't. Well, this 120 did.
Yep.
Good for them. Thank God. Somebody did. What if it was just two? Would that have been okay? Oops. Same thing. Doesn't matter, right? So let's look at go to 1 Corinthians. Are you getting anything out of this? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Glory be to God forever. Verse 6. And after that he was seen above 500. Brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present writing, here when he was writing this, but some have fallen asleep. He was listing the people here that Jesus appeared to after he was raised from the dead, before he went up into heaven, right? Mm-hmm. How many did it say here? He was seen of above 500. Say above. What does above 500 mean? More than 500. So we'll go the base level here. Let's say it's 500. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
How many were in the upper room? 120. 500, 120. That means 380 people that Jesus physically appeared to and commanded to not to wait, right? Didn't listen to him. What did they do? Well, they just disappeared and didn't do anything. Wrong.
Yeah.
Super wrong, and I will prove that to you a little bit further here. They didn't. They just didn't wait. They went out and began talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, yay, talk about the resurrection. I love the resurrection. Don't tell me that I don't love the resurrection. Well, what I'm saying is they're doing it wrong. They're building a house wrongly. They didn't let the Lord build the house. Why? Because the Lord hasn't come yet. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, the promise. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
380. That's three-fourths. Three-fourths of the disciples went out and didn't wait. Three times as many people didn't wait for the Holy Ghost, which means they couldn't be wired correctly. They were wired weirdly. They were wired religiously with their lack of understanding of what was really going on, just like Abraham. He only had part of it, and he went out with just a part, right? Three-fourths, is that a lot? That's a super majority. You could get people impeached with that. Oh, to have a supermajority. Didn't wait for the promise. 120 did. Three times as many. Three times as many people didn't listen to what Jesus told them to do. And they started going out. Well, how do you know they started going out? All right. Go to Acts chapter 16. It's amazing how God reveals all this stuff in His Word. And it's amazing the things you begin to see when you start worshiping the one who wrote it. Right? And He starts to reveal things to you that He won't reveal to the other people who didn't wait for Him. Yeah. All right, Acts chapter 16. This is good. You're going to enjoy this. Verse 6. Now when they were gone throughout Phrygia and into the region of Galatia and were forbidden, say forbidden.
Forbidden.
Forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Would God do that?
Yeah.
I guess so. He said, don't go there.
Yep.
Where'd the Holy Ghost say? Now here's Paul, right? It's talking about Paul, and he's the one of the main apostles to the Gentiles, right? Mm-hmm. And God the Holy Ghost forbade him to go into a certain area. Don't go over there yet. We'll see that later on he does go in there. Here's Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, and he doesn't go. God the Holy Ghost, let's read it again. Now when they were gathered gone throughout Phrygia, say Phrygia.
Phrygia.
I just wanted you to say that. In the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So who forbade them to do this? The Holy Ghost. Right? Okay, let's go over to Acts 19, a couple chapters over. Paul has not gone over there yet. The Holy Ghost forbade him to. And it came to pass, Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Paul came to Ephesus. He hadn't been there before. This is Paul's second journey. Listen, this is at least, now a lot of people would dispute some of these things, but it would be in the realm of 20 years after. 20 years, say 20 years. 20 years after the Holy Ghost came. Paul's second mission. Remember, on his first missionary journey, he was forbidden to go this far. This is on his second missionary journey, and he came into Ephesus. Obviously, we're assuming that the Holy Ghost said, okay, now you can go over there. Right? When he came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding what? Certain disciples. He'd be like, what the cuss? How are there disciples here when I was not here yet? How did this happen? And look what he says to them. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now we know more of why he's even saying it this way.
Yeah.
Right? They couldn't possibly have, because these are disciples who went out and started getting people converted before waiting for the promise.
Yeah.
They spread out 20 years of people going out and spreading a gospel that is not Holy Ghost centric.
Yeah.
That he's God in the earth today. Well, what did they, well, look what they said. Verse chapter 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. No wonder. Because the people who should have waited didn't wait. And what did they do? They went out there and they preached this gospel that was without a Holy Ghost.
Right.
Sorry. Put like a net over there or something. One of those football nets. Are you seeing this? 20 years of evangelizing. If the Lord doesn't build the house, they're laboring in vain that build it. Why? Because they're building on something that's corrupt. It's not, are you here? Have you, we haven't even heard yet. Well, I know who the Holy Ghost is. And then Paul said unto them, what then were you baptized unto? And they said, unto John's baptism. God bless the Baptists. Are you here? Are you seeing what's going on? And what church circle really does not like Holy Ghost preaching? Right? And I'm saying, you know, I'm not getting on anybody's toes. God bless. But the problem is, if the Lord doesn't build the house, they're laboring in vain that build it. And they have years and years, up to thousands of years now, 2,000 years of them preaching a gospel that's not Holy Ghost centric. And I have to come in this last day and start preaching a complete, seems like a completely different gospel. Because all of them, and I went down through this, they've all got it wrong. Why would they all have it wrong? Because they've all bought into the gospel that didn't wait for the promise. Are you here? Am I just yelling? I hope I'm getting this across. Then, you know, let's just prove this a little bit further. Go to chapter 19, verse 10. And this is in that same place here. I'm just not going to read it all. And this continued by the space of 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. The space of 2 years. So Paul preached in Ephesus, right? Got these people. These people were from Ephesus. And he wrote things. He wrote, right? And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Where was this? In Asia. The place that the Holy Ghost forbade him to go 20 years afterwards, right? And then he went in there by direction of the Holy Ghost, and he found disciples. And then they had to, it took him 2 years most likely, that's what this is saying to me, it took him 2 years to get them straightened out because he couldn't go. Yep. Are you here? Sometimes it takes 2 years, say 2 years,
2 years,
to get people's goofy religious ideas straightened out. 2 years of saying, I worship you, Holy Ghost, will get you. It'll get you somewhere. Are you here? Mm-hmm. All right. Just like Abraham got off on the wrong track. He got off on the wrong foot. Was Abraham on the wrong foot when he was trying to fulfill the promise by doing it himself in the flesh? Yes. What about the 3/4? Or the 3 times as many Christians, because they believed the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, right? Got off on the wrong foot for years and years and years and years, and they're still out there today. We're still dealing with it. Just like we're dealing with the problem that Abraham created in the earth today, we're dealing with the problem that the church created by not waiting. You getting this? I think you're getting it. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God forever. Just like Abraham got off on the wrong foot and created problems, so the church got off on the wrong foot and created problems. Jesus commanded them not to, but they did. They built the house wrongly, right? Vainly. The house is built in vain. Then you got the 10 virgins, right? Virgins. They were all virgins. 5 of them weren't ready when the Lord, when the trumpet sounded, said, hey, we don't have any oil. Why don't you have any oil in your lamp? What do you think the lamp's for? Go back to those that sell the lamp. And I talked to you before. What gospel are we selling in our day and age? Are we selling an old version? No, we're selling the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. We don't sell the old OS. Are you here? We're almost done. Let the Holy Ghost begin to build your spiritual ground, even if you built it on a different one, even if you ran off without the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. Let the Holy Ghost begin to rebuild or build your spiritual house from the ground up. Amen. How does that happen? By beginning to worship Him as God in the earth today. He'll begin to refabricate it. It takes more time, doesn't it? You ever seen the houses? Sometimes you go down to the beach and you see these people that, you know, they're trying to put a foundation under their house. Well, the house is already built. Now they need a different foundation under it. They try to raise it up. I think it's fun to go watch them, you know, because they'll lift the whole house up. It's crazy. They lifted all Chicago up. Saw a documentary on that, because they had their sewage system was archaic. and they needed to put an actual sewage system in Chicago. So the whole city, hotels, everything was lifted up, you know, a considerable amount so that they could put. So you want to build the sewage city for the sewage part first, the underground, right? And then you build on top of it. A lot of people don't know this, but a lot of the Arab countries, Abu Dhabi, the tallest skyscraper, one of the tallest skyscrapers in the world down in there, with, you know, the, forget the name right now, it has no sewage system. They literally cart the stuff off in trucks on a daily basis. We think, oh, it's so advanced, it's so wonderful. No, these are people that were living in tents, look, 25 years ago. They don't have the foundation to have those, and most of it's run by slave labor. It's another thing that people don't want, like to talk about in these Arab nations. Slavery's fine. Mad people, crazy people, right? Why? We're dealing with them today. Thank you, Abraham, very much. So while you're thanking him for believing God, slap him with the other hand. Are you here? Why? Because we're dealing with a problem that started back then because he didn't wait. Same thing. When you're shaking, you know, the people that don't believe in the Holy Ghost as God did in the earth today and worship him, shake their hand and slap them at the same time. Yeah. Anyway, let the Holy Ghost build your supernatural spiritual house rightly from the ground up. You may have a lot of it built. The foundation is wrong. Means you got to lift it up and you got to put all that new plumbing and wiring and all that stuff in. You'll be better off for it in the long run, and if you don't do it, you're just gonna be messed up. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna want to slap you more. We are truly a religion of worshiping the Holy Ghost, saying and believing. Mm-hmm. That's how you walk with God. God who? God the Holy Ghost. He's the only part of the Godhead in the earth today. If you walk with God, he is the Holy Ghost. That's his name. And we walk with him by saying words. What did they do when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost? They began to say his words. You can also say his promises, because he wrote the scriptures. They were all inspired by him. And all the promises, let's go there. We'll see. Maybe we can end with this. Go to 2 Corinthians. Remember, he is the promise. Abraham didn't wait for the promise. The church didn't wait for the promise. Three-fourths of them. And did those three-fourths that didn't wait just sit there and disappear? No, they went out and did what they shouldn't have done. They started on the wrong foot. Well, they're going to end up in the wrong place. What did I say? Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God, God the Holy Ghost, in him are yea and amen. Amen. And the glory of God, the Holy Ghost, by us. We walk with the Holy Ghost by speaking his words, by declaring his promises. That's where we're at. Is it difficult to get someone who doesn't have the foundation of worshiping the Holy Ghost to this place? Yes, then where are they? When you come up to them and go, ah, oh, we haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. Right? It's all about the Holy Ghost. And one of the main things you need to begin to do that helps to put you in homeroom, get you going in the right direction, is say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Because when you do that, that begins to build the foundation concretely with actual concrete, spiritual concrete. Are you seeing this? Is this any good? He is the promise. Wait for the promise. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. That's where they're completed. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. What kind of liberty? All the promises. Okay, is it possible to have all the promises if you aren't built on the foundation of the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today? No. You know what you're going to do? You're going to wait. You're going to think all the promises are in heaven because that's where Jesus your Lord is, and you'll die and go to heaven and get healed. You'll die and go to heaven and get prospered. And glory to God. Shake them with their hand, slap them with the other one. Because you can have it now. Right. What? Him. Right. All right. Are you getting this? Yes. We are inducted into the society, the Holy Ghost society, by saying words. Saying the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Because he is the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. And then we have all of those things, and then we're on the right track.